The Lord be with you.
Amen.
Read it from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus came down from the mountain with Peter, James, and John, and approached the other disciples. They saw a large crowd around them and scribes arguing with them. Immediately on seeing him, the whole crowd was utterly amazed. They ran up to him and greeted him. He asked them, "What are you arguing about with them?" Someone from the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I brought to you my son possessed by a mute spirit. Whoever seizes him and throws him down, he foams in mouth, grinds his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive it out, but they were unable to do so." He said to them in reply, "O faithless generation, how long will I be with you? How long will I endure you? Bring him to me." They brought the boy to him. When he saw him, the spirit immediately threw the boy into convulsions. As he fell to the ground, he began to roll around and foam at the mouth. And he questioned his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" He replied, "Since childhood. It has often thrown him into fire and into water to kill him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Jesus said to him, "If you can, everything is possible to one who has faith." And the boy's father cried out, "I do believe. Help my unbelief." Jesus, on seeing a crowd rapidly gathering, rebuked the unclean spirit and said to him, "Mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him. Never enter into him again." Shouting and throwing the boy into convulsions, it came out. He became like a corpse, which caused many to say he is dead. But Jesus said, took him by the hand, raised him, and stood up. When he entered the house, his disciples asked him in private, "Why could we not drive the spirit out?" He said to them, "This kind can only come out through prayer." The Gospel of the Lord. Public life of our Lord lasted about 3 years. And our Lord carried out three basic activities in those 3 years. Abundant preaching, as we saw in the Gospel yesterday, if you went to Mass. Then Jesus carried out a lot of miracles of two types, miracles healing sicknesses and sometimes even raising people from the dead, as we have in three witnesses, miracles over nature, walking on the water, calming the storm, turning water into wine, multiplication of the loaves and the fish. The third activity of our Lord was that of what you saw today, that of casting out devils or exorcisms. Probably the best book for you to read on this topic is The Exorcist of Rome, who died about 2 years ago. His name was Gabriel d'Amorth, and he wrote the book The Exorcist. Not that you have to do it, but the movie The Exorcist, which came out, what, 40 years ago? Scary, but well done. Well done. Even Gabriel de Morth says that the movie was well done. A lot of details were changed. It was not a girl, but it was a boy. It happened in Virginia, not another state. But the essence of that movie is pretty well done. So maybe for your Lenten reading, you can maybe read the book The Exorcist. No? The first Sunday of Lent is what? Jesus battling with the devil. There are two extremes, I think, that have to be avoided. Paul the VI mentions this with respect to the devil. One is to deny his presence. And the other is to give him too much importance. So I think there has to be a mean between the two extremes. Many in the intellectual academia, I have a college degree. I don't believe in the devil. That's for dummies, no? Which is somewhat ironic. That's exactly what the devil wants. They think they're intelligent, but they're the real dummies. Because then the devil can wreak havoc on us. The other is to give him too much importance. No? When I was a child, there was a movie on by Flip Wilson, The Devil Made Me Do It, The Devil Made Me Do It, The Devil Made Me Do It. Well, Flip Wilson may have been a good comedian, but he was theologically erroneous because the devil didn't make you do anything. The devil can tempt you. He can suggest, he can insinuate, but to say that the devil made me do it is wrong because the devil cannot violate our freedom. You can play around with your imagination and manipulate your emotions a little bit, but he can't get into your will. You have to open up the door. In the book The Exorcist of Gabriel de Morth, he mentions various ways in which the devil attacks us. With your permission, I'd like to mention them. Because we're in spiritual combat, and most of you have done the exercises of St. Ignatius. Of course, you've got the two standards, right? Two standards, we're begging for the grace to know the astute tactics of the enemy. And even the rules for discernment, the devil is present there at least implicitly in all the 14 rules of the first week. At least implicitly. Explicitly rule 12, 13, and 14. So let me just give you a brief mini course on demonology today. Temptation. Temptation is a solicitation, or it's an invitation from the devil to sin, to offend God. Whether you like it or not, we're all tempted, and every day, one way or another. And to say that we're not tempted, we are spiritually blind. We're spiritually deaf. Did you hear me? Okay, so spiritually blind or spiritually deaf. We're all tempted. Even St. James, in a letter we read in the past couple weeks, mentions that topic more than once. Temptations can be kind of like a lightning flash that goes across your mind. Well, this temptation can be very short. And we get them. Okay, let's move from temptation to obsession. Obsession is a word used in modern psychology, but also it's used in mystical theology also. And what is obsession is, it's basically a prolonged temptation. It's prolonged. Could last an hour, could last a day, could last a week, could last even longer. We've all had these obsessions, even though we didn't know it, because of lack of a deep formation and lack of proper spiritual direction. But I'll give you a couple examples. Okay, you get up one day, and out of the blue, there was someone in your mind that hurt you 25 years ago. And you're angry at that person the whole day. And you can't seem to get that out of your mind. That is a diabolical obsession. Hello? Anyone home? We've all had it, no? Another would be this. You're married. And over the past maybe 6 months, your relationship with your spouse has been kind of rocky, on the rocks. So for a day, a week, your ex-boyfriend is in your mind. Luisito. Okay, there he is. He's in your mind, okay? Or Waldito, okay? So you have him. You're married. Married for 25 years. But your relationship with your spouse has been pretty rocky. Where is Luisito now? I remember Luisito. Oh, he was so handsome, so debonair, so intelligent, so eloquent. Here I am, sleeping next to this guy. He's 100 pounds overweight, snores like a bear, and he's got a bad breath that could kill a cow, huh? Two cows, no? I'm stuck with this guy another 20 years. Oh, no. Luisito, Luisito, where art thou, Luisito? Kind of Shakespeare, huh? Not Romeo, but Luisito, huh? It happens. See, so when your emotional affect of life is jeopardized with your spouse, then you look in other places. And the devil is able to do that. Devil, they're crafty. It's called a diabolical obsession. And you really can't seem to get it out of your mind. It's almost like a torture. You don't really want it to be there, but it really won't leave you. Kind of like when you get the Jehovah Witnesses in your house, you can't get them out, okay? You know the experience. Well, maybe you don't. This is called a diabolical obsession. Have you ever read the life of Saint Benedict? Of Nursia? You ever hear of him? Founder of the Benedictines? When he was already in Subiaco, because he went from Rome to Subiaco because he was studying apparently in the best university in the world. It was the Harvard of the Rome, was Rome back in the 4th century. But there was a lot of immorality. So he decided to leave Rome and he went to Subiaco to live in a cave. You know what happened? When he was in Rome, he had seen a really beautiful woman that was seductive, tantalizing, and he couldn't get that woman out of his mind, even though he was living in a cave. That's another example. Another example of what is called a diabolical obsession. That bad image he couldn't dislodge. Not to mention today pornography. If you had an addiction with pornography, man, are you kidding? That obsession is gonna, it could torment you the rest of your life. Better prevention than healing, the nurses would say. So there are many other stages in the book of Gabriel de Morth, many more. I've just gone through two. There are many others. I think that's enough for today. But I don't want to leave you I don't want to leave you with all a diabolical oppression, obsession now. Never forget that God is much more powerful. Never forget that. God is much more powerful. And also, the Blessed Mother, very powerful. You know, the Blessed Mother and the devil cannot coexist. If you call out to the Blessed Mother, she will crush the head of the devil. Amen? She will crush the head of the devil. Genesis 3:15, the Proto-Evangelium. I'll put enmity between you and her offspring, and she will crush your head. So when you're tempted, say the Hail Mary. And every time you're tempted, you say the Hail Mary, the Blessed Mother will intervene, and she will crush the head of the devil. Amen.